Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, there is one God. Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Ba'at Hashem Lekacha. And you know, you really should love God. B'chol v'avcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol ne'odecha. All your heart, and all your soul, and all of your possessions, and all of your talents. And she plays them on your heart. And teach them to your children. Speak of them. When you're going on the way, when you go to bed, when you wake up. And you should tie them as a sign on your hand. And they should be signed on your forehead. And you should write these principles of loving Kadosh Baruch Hu on the mezuzot, on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. Okay? So at its core, how would we characterize, what's the message behind the mitzvah of mezuzot? What's it all about? Sorry, what are you saying?
A reminder.
A reminder of what? Hashem's presence. Okay, so you could say that the Torah is giving us a mitzvah to remind us to know that there's one God. To remind us specifically to love God. That's what the first parak of Kriyat Shema talks about. And one of those ways in which to remind ourselves of Hashem's presence is through learning Torah and teaching Torah. And another is through tefillin, specifically for men. Manti Torah Hashem b'picha, so the Torah of Hashem in your mouth. And the third aspect is by writing mezuzahs. Okay, shalom, shalom. So we're just going through the laws of mezuzah, and this is such a fundamental aspect of the mezuzah. Yet, I would venture to guess 90% of people, when they put up the mezuzah, don't even realize this is what it's about. It's a reminder to love God. In fact, there are many halachas, and we're going to go through Ezrat Hashem. But before we jump through all the, you know, how to do it, and this way, and that way, and how diagonal, and how straight, and all the technicalities, let's remind ourselves of the essence of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to remind us to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Rambam right, so every time you pass through a different door of your house, you're supposed to look at that mezuzah, you know, sing a nice Karl Bach song, or whatever makes you feel in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I like singing Yedidah. So every time I walk through a door, I stop. I sing the whole Yedidah first, and then I look at the mezuzah. No, I don't actually. But if I were really, really from, like the Rambam, then I would sing, I don't know if the Rambam would sing, but you get what I'm saying. You meditate and look at the mezuzah, and feel the love of Hashem every single room that he walks through. Okay, because that's what it's all about. Now, the Ramah brings down that there's a concept of kissing the mezuzah. I think the Chidah brings this down, and many other great rabbis talk about this concept. But the Rambam talks about just looking at the mezuzah. So whether you look at it, whether you kiss it, the Ramah says, Ken shishkenes adam lebeit yaniach yado mezuzah. You place your hand on the mezuzah. And kiss it. Actually, the Ramah doesn't even mention kissing it, just mentioned touching it. Touching it is a reminder. Ramah says, look at it. The Ben Ish Chai or the Chidah says, kiss it. But it's all the same idea. Use the mezuzah to be an active reminder to feel the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seder, that's in your day of Resh Pehei, which is where most of the halachas of mezuzah are explicated. Now, the Pini Halacha, as you guys know by now, I love Pnini Halacha because it's not just a beautiful synthesis of summary of what Halacha is, but also synthesizes Hashkafa. So the Pnini Halacha writes that many of the mitzvahs are aimed at lifting up our physical lives. Okay? So take, for example, our body. So we have ways to, and our clothing. So for men, we wear tzitzis and we wear tefillin. Women have the laws of tzniut. That way we're lifting up our clothing to be in the ways of Hashem. Okay, maybe a man has bris milah. And agriculture. We have Shemitah. We have, you know, all these Meister, Truma, all these laws which are there to sanctify, to lift up, to remind us to bring the Kadosh Baruch Hu into the picture when we're doing working in the field. Right? So what's the mitzvah that uplifts our house? Hint, hint. Can you guys guess? What mitzvah makes our house a little bit holier? Mezuzah. But I think you could say Seder. You could say Chanukah. You could say Halakas Neros. All of these would have been correct answers. But Rav Melamed believes that the essential mitzvah, which is that remind us of our home, you know, for me personally, my favorite holiday is Sukkot. Okay? You guys also like Sukkot? To me, it's my favorite holiday. You know why? Because I get to go outside. I like outside. I like davening always outside. One of the reasons why I like davening so much is Purim. Because for me, when I'm indoors, I feel stifled. I feel, I don't know, I feel disconnected a little bit. But when I'm outdoors, I feel connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, you know, it could happen naturally. The person's in his house, and then there's TVs and this and that, and you feel like Hashem's over there, and I'm like in my house. Now, you know, that's, I go to shul for Frumkai, and like in my house is like, put my feet up and like chill. And so the mezuzah is there to remind me, no. Your house also has to be a place of connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that every single room, and certainly at the entrance, every house has to have a mezuzah to remind us to make your house a holy, holy place. Okay? And Rav Hirsch talks a lot about that, how Judaism is not, in some religions, it's more about when you go outside of the house. When you're in the house, then you can do what you want. No, our house is dafka the place where we have to make it a holy space, a holy, holy place. And so I see a lot of, you know, people put a lot of svarim up in their living room. Right now we're putting all the closets in our house. We're saying, should we put the svarim there? Should we put the svarim there? So we're trying to figure out where we want the Kedusha to manifest itself. But really the mezuzah is a central place where it's manifest. Okay, so that's a little bit of hashkafa behind the halacha. And now, with your permission, we'll jump into the nitty-gritty details of, you know, of all these, of the Hilchos mezuzah. You know what? Even before we get into the nitty-gritty details, one more segula. It says in the Torah that when you fill it, when you do the mitzvah of mezuzah, that by fulfilling these laws, you're going to have lengthy days. And even though the Shulchan Aruch is just a halacha work, it includes this drush of Chazal, that when you put up a mezuzah, you're going to be zoichet, you're makbid about mezuzah, to long days and long years. And it even says, in the Gemara, that one is makbid about mezuzah, will be zoichet to a beautiful house. Because just like he was makbid about mezuzah in his house, I'll be just like a beged. If you're makbid about tzitzis, you'll be zochet to a beautiful garments. So mezuzah, you'll be zochet to a beautiful house. So I have a friend. His name is Gil Locks, and he is an interesting character. He wrote a whole book about his life. He's part of a lot of different religions, Buddhism, Christianity. In any case, in the end, he became a Chabad Jew. And at one point, and his mitzvah was mezuzah. You go around to the Kotel tunnels and all sorts of crazy places. And if he saw someone, a Jew who didn't have mezuzah up, he would knock on the door and say, "Hey, where's your mezuzah?" Like that. He was crazy about this mitzvah. And one time, someone came up to him in his RV, a little car, and he said, "Listen, I'd like to make a trade. Would you like my old city apartment? And I'll give you my car, and I'll take your car." And Gil Dafka wanted to give away his car, and he said, "Great." And he was zeichet to a beautiful old city apartment, worth at this point probably hundreds of thousands.
Why would someone give that?
I don't know. It's a crazy story. It's a wild and crazy story.
Now he's in an apartment.
Now he lives in the old city. As he wraps filling on people at the Kotel. You can ask him this story. It's a real story. It's not a bubble mindset. Anyway, so he should be zeichet to be crazy passionate about whatever your mitzvah is. And his mitzvah is mezuzah. And he saw it. The Gemara's words fulfilled in front of its eyes. There's many, many miraculous stories about mezuzahs, but we're going to focus on halacha. Good time at the end, we can tell some nice miracle of Abba Rebbe stories. But let's focus on halacha. It's supposed to be a halacha class.
Is there a thing that if your family has many hardships in a row, you're supposed to check your mezuzah?
Indeed.
Is that like a...
It's
a thing, or is that
no. It's a real thing. It's a real thing, because the mezuzah is supposed to protect your house, and there's many stories where, even today, someone was telling me how something really bad happened in his family. And then they checked the mezuzahs, and there was only the cases. There was no scrolls in the mezuzahs. That's one story that my friend told me today. Another story that a friend today, someone told me that story. Another rabbi friend of mine told me a story about he had a car accident. His car flipped over, and then he would check his mezuzahs, and it was flipped over. It was up. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How often are you supposed to check your mezuzahs?
Good question. Gemara says twice every 7 years. You're supposed to check, obviously, when you buy them, the sofer is going to check. Okay. He's a reliable sofer. And the Gemara says twice every 7 years. Why so often? Because the reality is that oftentimes the ink will kind of, if it's moist, if it's wet, it will get a little, drier, and the ink will kind of melt, and it will, some of the letters might become joined together, and it might not be kosher anymore. And this might sound like a Baba Maisa, but I actually asked in the store, a sofer, I often buy my mezuzahs, if that happens a lot, even in mezuzahs which are indoors, and they said yes. You know, a lot of situations where just, even though it was just indoors, it still would go bad. So twice every 7 years, you could double check. It could be that there are other rabbis who are more lenient, because nowadays they'll say, well, our mezuzahs are made stronger and better, so maybe just like tefillin doesn't have to be checked so often, maybe the mezuzahs inside the house don't have to be checked so often, so double check with your rabbi. I'm not 100% sure. I might be being a little machbid, but at least that's what the clean halacha says, and that's what I've heard. Okay, regarding, and how much does the check cost? It costs about 25 shekel, 20 shekel in Israel.
Per mezuzah.
So depending how big your house is, not so bad. Exactly.
So I actually thought it would be like more often than that.
You want to be machmir? You want to check more often? No problem. But the thing is, sometimes by checking too often, it could cause damage to the parchment and the ink. So, if that's what Mara said, the Shulchan Aruch Pasan, it's good enough for me. Twice every 7 years. Okay, a few more practical shailas. Are women obligated to put up mezuzahs in their house? Let's say a woman lives alone. She's not married. Is she obligated to put up a mezuzah? Which is kind of obvious, but the answer is yes, she is, right? Now, why do I even have to ask the shayla? Because by tefillin, women aren't obligated. But mezuzah specifically is women and men. And then Penina Alacha actually writes that women are a little bit more connected to the concept of mezuzah even than men. And he would recommend, if you have a choice between a man and a woman, the woman should put up the mezuzah. So you guys can work that out, when you get married. If you're going to put up the mezuzah, if your husband's going to put up the mezuzah, if you can put it up together, one will hold it and the other will hammer, whatever it is. But why would women specifically be connected to the mitzvah of mezuzah? Because women are connected to the kedusha of the house. In the Gemara, it calls a woman the dvisu, the house. She brings the kedusha into the house. That's also why women specifically are the ones who light the Shabbos candles. But they're connected more to the inyan of the bringing the kedusha into the house. So certainly they're obligated in mezuzah just like men. Same halachically the same, but maybe ashkafically even a tiny bit more. Okay? It came up. I was rabbiing in Papua, and the woman there asked if she could put up a mezuzah, and I said, of course you can. No problem. The nusach. What's the nusach for the bracha? Bukata Hashem, al-kenu ma'al-chalam, al-kviyut mezuzah, or something like that. I'm putting up the mezuzah. You could look it up on YouTube, and I'll give you the exactness if I'm mistaken. Of course, like every mitzvah, we want to do the mitzvah before we want to say the bracha before we do the mitzvah. Right? I know lighting candles is an exceptional situation. In general, though, we always do the bracha before we do a mitzvah. Why do we do the bracha before we do the mitzvah? But what's the point of the bracha?
The bracha is to sanctify the mitzvah.
Sanctify the mitzvah. And to give us a kavanah, exactly. So therefore, we want to do it before. So, but we also want to do it over le'asiyatam, which means as close as possible to doing the mitzvah. So what I recommend is put the nail. You already put the mezuzah case in. And then before you nail it in, then you say the bracha. Then you nail, boom, 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 mitzvah. And then what I would recommend is just do all the mezuzahs of the house together. That way you don't have to say a new bracha on each door, which would seem to be a bracha of atala. Say it on the first one, have in mind all the mezuzos in your house, and then go around your house and boom, 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 with as little talking as possible. It's all one mitzvah. Yeah? Now, one shaila that comes up is, can I use tape? A lot of times, tape, especially the dinky Stella tape, as we call it, it falls off eventually, you know? Some poskim say, well, that's not really the best way to fulfill the mitzvah because it's not permanent. And eventually that tape's going to die. Nowadays, a lot of times you buy the mezuzah from places and they have this thicker tape, double-sided. One side sticks to the mezuzah, the other side peels off, and it lasts a long time. And that, I think, lefi kol hadeos, you could use to put up your mezuzahs, or you could do the little, you know, hammer, the good old-fashioned way, and hopefully the tenants won't mind if you made a little hole, but it should be okay. Okay, so those are some options for how do we put up the mezuzah. Now, should I put up a mezuzah in the old city of Yerushalayim? Yes or no? What do y'all think? Why not? Well, why yes? Tell me why yes, and then I'll tell you why not.
So the answer is no?
The answer is yes. But
why would it be different than the other place? You still want Hashem watching over you.
You want Hashem watching over you, but you put a mezuzah on a movie theater? You put a mezuzah on, like, I don't know, a big tower? Give me a source that indicates that I should put a mezuzah on the gates of my city.
Like the house.
So you're saying it's the house of Yerushalayim, so it's like a house. I like it, but I'll do even better. Read the end of the pasuk that we say every day. And in your gates, it says specifically in the Torah that you should put mezuzahs on your gates of your city. So you don't even need fancy schmancy drushes. It's in the Bible. I often point this out on my tours. I often start my tours at Yaffa Gate, and I say, "What is this weird thing at the top of this gate? What's the source for that?" And this is what I tell people, that it says in the Torah you should put mezuzahs in your gates. Now, most places in the world don't have gates. Right, I don't know. There's no gates around Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn, but in Yerushalayim we have gates.
Yeah, if you have a gate outside your house, like to come into your house, you put a mezuzah on that.
Good question. I think bisharecha specifically refers to the gates of your city.
Okay, because I have like a gate in my backyard.
Mm.
We don't have a mezuzah on.
Yeah, so I don't remember, but I don't think. Because we'll get to it. A bias is defined as a house where you eat or sleep.
So why do we have mezuzahs on stores?
Good question. Get to that in just one moment. So let's just finish up the halachas with the old city is, since it's a gate in your city, you should put it up. Some rabbis say, no, why not? Because most people who are walking through Jaffa Gate are not Jewish. Okay, or not yet Jewish. No, they're not Jewish. Right? If you're going on a random Sunday, maybe on Shabbos it's mostly Jews. Most of the time, just, you know, at least during touristy days, it's not Jewish. Plus, most of the residents of the old city are actually not Jewish either. Right? 30,000 Muslims, 8,000 Christians. But when you go to the Jaffa Gate, you're generally going to the Jewish quarter. Certainly, Shaar Tzion is going to the Jewish quarter. And it's Jewish jurisdiction. The Jews rule over the place. That's why Lemaisa, we do put a mezuzah on the gates of the city. It's a beautiful mezuzah there. It was built with remnants of bullet holes, which has a lot of symbolism. And I imagine they even said a bracha when they put it up. But I'm not sure. It's a machlokas, but generally I'm sure they put a mezuzah on. So that's just something fun to, you know, point out when you walk into the city of Yerushalayim. It also reminds us that this is a Jewish city, it's a special city. Okay. Now, other situations. Do you need a mezuzah? Do you not need a mezuzah? So a store. Okay, Ali brought up already a store. So in the Shulchan Aruch at Pasins, you don't need a mezuzah in a store. Why not? Because in Shulchan Aruch's times, people didn't eat in their stores. When it said store, it means like a storefront where you keep your storage. And then a guy would come and sell his merchandise, his diamonds. And you go home to have lunch or dinner. You wouldn't eat in the actual store. But nowadays, you know, a lot of times the person who owns a store will take his matzah and cream cheese sandwich and he'll eat while he's working. And therefore, since he's eating, it's defined as a bias, and therefore it is recommended to put up a mezuzah. I don't know if they do it with the bracha because it's a suffix, but it would be a good idea to put a mezuzah up on your stores and for. Okay? What about a Beit Knesset? Must we put up a mezuzah in our synagogues? So naturally we would assume, of course, a holy place. And plus, you probably know that when you walk into your shul, you see a mezuzah. But you would be surprised to know the Shulchan Aruch actually postulates that you don't need a mezuzah in your Beit Knesset. Why not? It's not because you already have a Torah, so it's holy, like some people suggest. No, it's very simple. Because it says in the Torah, "Chtav dam mezuzah beitecha." Is your shul your house? Well, a house is defined as a place that people either sleep or eat in. Do people eat or sleep in a shul? Well, it depends. In the olden days, the answer was no. People used to go to shul to daven, and then they go to the Beis Medrash, and they learn. Maybe there people would eat, maybe even take a little nap. But they wouldn't at all. It was sanctity, and they wouldn't eat or sleep in a shul. And still to this day, there are many shuls. I remember my shul growing up, we would never eat in there. You'd go down for the kiddush. You would just walk in for the daven. So it's a shul like that, you technically don't need a mezuzah. You could still put up a mezuzah just for holiness, but not for halach. You're not obligated to do it. But nowadays, most of our synagogues are also used as places of study, of bate midrashiot, right? Certainly, let's say, Midmo is primarily a base medrash, but also a little bit of a base knesset. But since, whether they should or not, according to the rules, people do eat in the base medrash, and maybe people even take some naps sometimes. The rabbis, you know, really boring, whatever. So then it would probably require a mezuzah, and indeed there is a mezuzah.
So a lot of shuls people use for
shmuel. The reason they do that is because when they build the shul, they build it al tanai, that it should also be considered like a base medrash. That it shouldn't have the dinim of a base knesset. A base knesset is so high of holiness, you can't even eat there. But when they build the place, they say, well, it's a base knesset, it's base medrash. And since it's a base medrash, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to eat in a base medrash, so it won't be mevatel as Torah. And nowadays, we use that for even more than Kiddush. We say, well, you can now start chilling, you can have kiddush, and you can even, exactly.
But it's not a base medrash, nobody learns there. Actually, that's not true. I'd like to.
So if it's not at all a base medrash, so certainly you can eat all you want. I'm saying, let's say in Midmo, where a big base medrash, where you do learn all day there, but it's also when they built it on condition that it should be used for other things like eating. Most Batei Midrashiot / Batei Knesset nowadays are built with that tanai specifically in mind in order to allow people to nash, which we're a generation that can't learn without nashing. You know, we need our yummies. So that's the deal with Batei Midrashiot and Batei Knesset. Technically, you don't need it, but in the minhagim we do put it. Okay, storage good. What about bedrooms? Does a bedroom require a mezuzah? What do you say? You sleep there and you eat there, so why not? And indeed, you're right. You are obligated to put up a mezuzah. There's only one difference between a bedroom and the rest of your rooms. The rest of your rooms in your house, it's considered a hiddur mitzvah to have a mezuzah that you can actually see the cloth. This is a good halach a lot of people don't know. A lot of people just get the fancy schmancy mezuzahs. They look pretty. But the goal of the mezuzah is not to see the shin on the case. The goal is to see the cloth. So therefore, halachically, it's better to get the 10 shekel clear mezuzahs and most of your house and not the fancy schmancy ones where you can't actually see the cloth. Now, again, this is not one of those halachas where you want to go home and be like, Mom, sorry, switching all the mezuzah cases because it's just a chum. I'm telling you, a stringency. But nonetheless, it's a nice stringency that'll save you some money too, that you should be able to actually see the shin. But there's one room which does not get, you don't want to see the cloth itself. And that's a bedroom. Why? Because sometimes you get dressed in the bedroom. And it's considered disrespectful to be you know, constantly undressed in a bedroom and seeing the cloth. And therefore, in the bedroom, you want to have the one, that's the one mezuzah where you want it to be covered. But there's a, it's there, but it's covered. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that halacha. Even a lot of Talmidei Chacham. Okay?
Where is it written? Is it written in the Shulchan Aruch?
Yes. But I'm quoting from the Pinine Halacha. Okay. I think in Talmudic times, I'm not so sure that they had the case, the same. They probably had some sort of cover, but I'm not sure they had the same covers that we have. Nowadays, a lot of people get confused. They think the cover is the main thing and not the scroll.
That was clear.
So apparently, Yaakov knows his Pinine Halacha, knows his Shulchan Aruch, whoever put up. He put them up because he learned this, but this is something that Pnei Halacha stresses. So you can ask him. So you learn your common classes. This is the reason why they're clear, and you'll get back to me. That's the reason. Next, what about a bathroom? Do you need a mezuzah in a bathroom? No, because that's not a place of living. You don't eat there. I hope. You don't sleep there, I hope, and it's considered disrespectful, so you don't put a mezuzah in the bathroom. What about all the rest of your rooms in your house? Basically, the answer is yes. You're supposed to have a mezuzah in every room in your house. Now, in my new apartment, I have an interesting situation. We have a door, but it's a door from, like, random room to, like, the living room, and there's no need for that door. We're not going to use the door. So do you need a mezuzah there? It depends. If we're actually going to ever use that door, then yeah. But if we're not going to use the door, then no. So we haven't decided yet if we're going to actually use the door or not.
Is there a apartment in the whole city?
No. Unfortunately for me, but fortunately for my wife, it's in Rehavia.
That's so close to here.
Yeah. It's a nice scoot. Last night I scooted it in 14 minutes. Well, I also scooted from the old city. It's nice. It's nice to be to change. Change is nice. Baruch Hashem. All right. A few more halacha practical stuff. Let's say you are renting an apartment. Okay. Let me start with a more common situation. Let's say you're going to a hotel. Are you obligated to go to a hotel that has mezuzahs on? What do you think?
No.
The answer is obviously no, because it would be almost impossible, right? And I'm sure we've all gone on vacations to random places, and they weren't owned by Jews. So the answer is no. You're right. Because the obligation to put up a mezuzah is on the owner and not on the person who's just living there. Okay? However, once you're already in a place for 30 days, if you're renting an apartment in 30 days, then you're already considered partially the owner. You are paying money, so it's like your place. People aren't going to just walk in without asking you, and therefore, you should put up a mezuzah if you're renting a place for more than 30 days. Now, I know that sounds like an intense halacha. Maybe the easiest way is to just not travel for more than 30 days in one space. If you are staying in a place and doesn't have a mezuzah, so ask a shayla. Ask a shayla. It might depend on the situation. However, here in Eretz Yisrael, interestingly enough, the halacha is different. It doesn't go by 30 days. It goes by even one night. Because there's a concept that a Jew is connected to Eretz Yisrael, and even one night in a home, he's already, like, living there. So therefore, I'm not supposed to move into my apartment, for example, tonight, until I had put up a mezuzah. That's why last night we actually did the move. And since we didn't yet have scrolls, so we moved, we just left by our parents-in-law, by my parents, by Dina's parents. Because we didn't want to sleep in a house that didn't have a mezuzah, even though we're only to be there for one night, but we didn't want to sleep in a house that didn't have the shmirah of the mezuzah on us.
So. Yeah. In Eretz Yisrael, even if you go to a hotel for one night, it needs to be a mezuzah.
So they really should have a mezuzah.
Most hotels
they do. Really should have a mezuzah on, and most of them do. At the same time, if you're going to a hotel, owned by a non-Jew, you're not obligated. It's not your obligation to put up the mezuzah.
But should you like bring one and tape it up?
No, no, you're not obligated to do that. That's above what the halacha mandates you to do. But I would say that if you're standing at a place for a longer period of time, then it would be recommended to go to a place that has a mezuzah. You're going to stay more than 30 days, because then it's already a little bit it's your domain. So I would recommend that. Okay? All right. Tape we covered. Where do you put the mezuzah? You put the mezuzah on the right side, right? Right side, strong side. And a lot of people don't know this halacha. You break down the door into three thirds, right? So imagine that door, three thirds, the top third, but not the top of the third, the top one third of the top third. Does that make sense? So the 67th percent of the mezuzah. Again, let me demonstrate. This is the third. This is the third. So you put it like the between here and there. Okay, not there.
The bottom half of the top third?
The bottom third of the top third. Okay?
Third of the top third.
Of the top third. That's the halacha.
That's where that mezuzah is.
Apparently, whoever put up the mezuzah.
And is that supposed to be planted?
Halacha. And indeed, according to Ashkenazim, it's supposed to be planted, as we will learn about momentarily. You could, the Ramalamid suggests that there's a remez that the if you look at a person's body, the bottom third is the knees, the middle is this, and then the top third is your head, is exactly 1/3. So just like the head rules over your entire body, so the mezuzah is supposed to mashpia upon your entire house. The love of the mezuzah. Beautiful. Now, if you put the mezuzah a little bit higher, it's kosher. But if you put the mezuzah too low, it's not kosher. If it's not part of the top third. So be aware of this halacha, because it will strafe up your mezuzah if you do it too low. And a lot of people don't know that. You could. Now the age-old, famous kasha. To straight or to slant? To straight or to slant? So it goes back, like all of these halachas, to the Gemara. And a mechlokis, and how do we understand the Gemara? According to the Halakha Rambam, the holy Maimonides, if you go to Egypt and you ask Maimonides 800 years ago, how should I put up mezuzah? He's going to say, straight up. You go to France, and you go to the Rebbe of Rashi, or Shlomo Yitzchak, and say, Rebbe, how should I put up mezuzah? He's going to say, straight. Okay? And most poskim go like that, and that indeed is how the Shulchan Aruch passes. And that is why Sfaradim, may they be blessed. You guys know any Sephardi folk?
Yeah.
And they should all be blessed. Because they do tzitzit, this is a straight up. Okay? Straight. Got it? Straight. Now, why does the rest of Ashkenazi Jewry do it a little slanted? Like you've seen, right? And went to the, what shul has it slanted? I don't know, not the Ramban, but I don't know. You went to the Churva. And you saw that the mezuzah was slanted. And you say, why? It doesn't make sense. The answer is because there's a rabbi named Rabbeinu Tam. And he's a Tosafite. He's one of the grandchildren of Rashi. He's a great rabbi. And he actually suggested that the mezuzah should be like this. Horizontal. Vertical. Horizontal. Whatever this is. Like this. Okay? We don't pass them like him. But nonetheless, out of respect for his opinion, Ashkenazim compromise. They say, we're not going to do straight, we're going to do a little slanty, just out of respect for Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. And the joke goes that in Sfaradim, when they want to make Shalom Bayis, what do? Straight. Just whatever the man says, that goes. Ashkenazim, we compromise a little bit. That's just a joke, isn't it? Not Allah. You want to make Shalom Bayis, which is what Mezuzah is all about. But that's a machlokas between Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, both of them would agree that it's kosher either way. But that's just, that's the deal with the straight or slanted. Okay, and final halacha of Hilchas Mezuzah that I remember, that I prepared for today, is a halacha that a lot of people don't know, and hope you won't be mad at me for teaching this halacha, but it's an important one. The Gemara in Bava Metzia teaches that when you leave your house, you're not supposed to take your mezuzahs with you. You're supposed to leave your mezuzahs in your old home. Even if you didn't own the house, even if you just rented the house, you're supposed to leave your mezuzahs in the home. What is the rationale for this halacha? So the many Rishonim understand that it would be considered a bizayon for the mitzvah that was being used in such a holy way, and now you're going to take it away, even though you're taking it away for a different mitzvah, still that's considered disrespectful, so you have to leave your mezuzahs in the home. Another way of explaining this halacha is that I'm sure you guys have learned that the mezuzah is considered a shmira. It guards over the house, its spirituality, and if you take the mezuzah down, the nezikim, whatever that means, the negative spiritual energy forces are going to somehow be able to damage the house, and that's not right. The Gemara tells a very scary story about someone who took the mezuzahs with them. They didn't leave them in the house, and then his wife and children passed away. So it's considered a very dangerous thing to do. So we don't mess with this. To the best of our ability, we try to leave the mezuzahs in. Now, what happens a lot of times, this is a tough halacha, why? Because you bought yourself those beautiful, nice mezuzahs because you don't want to compromise the mezuzahs. You want your whole house to be protected. Right? Actually, even this year, we were having weird issues, like weird insects and animals were penetrating our house. And we checked our mezuzahs, and we got new mezuzahs. And the animals didn't come back. True story. In our house. So, mezuzah affects your house. You don't want to take, you don't play games with that. So you got really expensive. You didn't cheap out. You got 1,000 shekels. And now you have to leave. You know, because Baruch Hashem had a baby and you need a bigger apartment. So you're going to leave 1,000 shekels. This is very expensive. 7 mezuzahs. So what you could do is you could take your mezuzahs out, not to move them to the other apartment, but to be checked. Okay? And already beforehand, you prepared cheaper mezuzahs. Still kosher mezuzahs. Don't get me wrong. But 100 shekels mezuzahs. Not the mahajanah. 100, you know, and then when you check your mezuzahs, good, and then you put in the 100 shekel mezuzahs throughout the house, and you got the rest of the mezuzahs, and you can bring the fancy schmancy mezuzahs for your new apartment. You get the
so
trick?
So you take them out to be checked, but instead of putting them back,
you put it in your new apartment, and you make sure the old apartment has mezuzahs, so you don't, you know, forsake the house. A lot of people do that. I didn't do that this time because I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do the mitzvah in the simplest way. I'm going to let the new people have my mezuzahs. And they said, thank you very much. And they asked if they could pay me back. And I said, just you guys clean the house because I don't want to pay a cleaner. So it all worked out. We gave them nice mezuzahs and they paid for a cleaner. And shalom bayis with her for all of Am Yisrael. And thus far, no one has complained. So that was my solution. But anyways, the main takeaway is, first of all, mezuzah is there to remind us to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, you can kiss it, you can look at it, but don't forget that every time we change, we're transitioning, we're reminding ourselves. Very often in Judaism, that's how it is. In the transitioning phase, it's when we need the reminder. Right? The Jewish people transitioned into Eretz Yisrael from the Midbar. We transitioned at the Kotel to the Har Bayis, and every day we're transitioning in and out of our house, and that's at the transition point, that's when we need a reminder. So right now, we're basically in a transition point. We have 1 week left, you know, between seminary life and summer life, which is also a transition, and then world life. So we should take the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we go. We should be machbit about the laws of mezuzah. The Ezer Hashem Yisparach.